Oh, Radhastami Maha Mahotsava Ki Jai. Jnanatimanandasya Jnanandana Salakaya Sakshurumimitamyana Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Sri Gurau Sri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sakra Jatam Sahagna Ragnatam Tam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagna Lalita Srinivasakam Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Dina Bandha Jagatate, Govesa Govika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namaste, Tata Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneswari, Visvana Sutade, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchakalpatrubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhyacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has in his Mangala Charan, his initial verses provided the tattvas, the pancha tattva, and there he has also provided the tattva in relation to Srimati Radharani. So I'll just read that first. Adi Lila, chapter 1, text number 5.
Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Ladini Shakti Rasmat Ikatmanavapi Bhuvi Puradeha Vedam Katutu Chaitanya Kyam Prakatam Aduna Taddayam Chaikam Aptam Radha Bhava Juti Suvalitam Nami Krishna Swarupam.
The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, previously they separated themselves. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. Hare Krishna. Srimati Radharani then has been defined by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami as the pleasure potency of the Lord, the Nandini Shakti. In the nectar of devotion, we find in the beginning the chapter, the characteristics of pure devotional service. And amongst the characteristics of pure devotional service, pure devotional service is described as Sri Krishna Akarsani, as that which can attract Krishna. Then it is explained that all devotional service attracts Krishna, but no one can attract Krishna like the residents of Vrindavan, because they serve Krishna with pure love. And amongst the residents of Vrindavan, no one can attract Krishna like the gopis in Vrindavan. But no one amongst all these gopis can attract Krishna as Srimati Radharani can. She has captured Krishna. She has subjugated Krishna. She has bound Krishna with her love. In her hands, in the 11th canto, it is said Krishna is like a puppet, like a doll he's using to play. That's it. She is simply controlling Krishna in this way, just like whatever she desires, he cannot forget her for a moment. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Antilila, just after 1 minute shift, doing it in a 1 second, multitasking is not possible. In the Antya Lila, there is a description of the writings of Srila Rupa Goswami, and particularly two dramas that Srila Rupa Goswami has written. Initially, Rupa Goswami was planning to write one drama, and in that one drama he was thinking to include all the pastimes of Krishna, both in Vrindavan and outside of Vrindavan. But then he traveled and came to Satyabhaumapur, and in Satyabhaumapur, in a dream, this beautiful female form appeared and ordered him to write two dramas. She said, you should write a separate drama about me. And in this way, Rupa Goswami could understand, he received the order of Satyabhama to divide the dramas in two. So he started thinking about it, how to do so, and later Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed the same. He also mentioned Krishna never leaves Vrindavan and also advised Srila Rupa Goswami, or instructed Srila Rupa Goswami to write two dramas, which Rupa Goswami then did, and these two dramas are known as the Vidukta Madhava and the Lalita Madhava. And the first chapter of the Antya Lila in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I'm about to open here, is giving there is a discussion between Ramananda Rai and Rupa Goswami in the presence of Sri Damodar Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the topic is the Vidukta Madhava. So, I'll read one verse. Ekasya sutam eva lumpati matim krisneti namaksaram sadrun madak paramparam upanatyanyasya vamsikalaha isasnigdagana jyutir manasi melaknapate vikshanat Kastam dikpurusatraya ratirabhum manye mritishayasi. Translation. Experiencing previous attachment to Krishna, Purvarak, Srimati Radharani thought, since I've heard the name of a person called Krishna, I've practically lost my good sense. Then there is another person who plays his flute in such a way that after I hear the vibration, intense madness arises in my heart. And again, there is still another person to whom my mind becomes attached when I see his beautiful, lightning-like effulgence in his picture. Therefore, I think that I am greatly condemned, for I have become simultaneously attached to three persons. It would be better for me to die because of this. This verse is from the Vidukta Madhava 2.9. So, here the depth of Srimati Radharani's love is described. I like this Vidukta Madhava because particularly it enters deeply into the emotional experience of Srimati Radharani. It really deeply enters into describing the level of love of God that she is experiencing. In this particular verse, we see that every experience of Krishna is completely overwhelming, all-absorbing. First, Purvarag, previous attachment. Due to previous attachment, yes, she's experiencing overwhelming feelings of separation. The scene of the Vidukta Madhava is a scene which takes place in the forest. Srimati Radharani is in that forest together with Vishakha, and she is, due to this previous attachment to Krishna, greatly overwhelmed by feelings of separation. So it's getting quite intense, and the emotions are so strong that immediate relief is required. So Vishakha is really wondering what to do. She is thinking, if this goes on, it could be really serious. She could die. Right? I mean, so therefore, it's not just an easy situation. It is a situation, a difficult situation. There's an emergency, so to speak. So Purnamasi is suggesting a solution, knowing that Vishakha is very expert at art. She orders Vishakha to draw a picture of Krishna. So, as soon as she has drawn this picture of Krishna, when Radharani sees the picture of Krishna, she suddenly becomes totally overwhelmed by that picture of Krishna, and she cannot think of anything but that picture of Krishna. But at the same time, there was the previous attachment as well, and now these two emotions are both attacking her. Now she is double overwhelmed. Now the feelings are still stronger. So instead of alleviating the situation, she made it worse. Now it's getting really, really, really critical. Really critical. Meanwhile, it is described that Krishna is also in the forest. He's elsewhere in the forest. And Krishna is with Balaram and with Madhumanga. and also Sridham is there. And yes, Krishna is also experiencing separation, but he's trying to compose himself. And at one point, Krishna is... Purnamasi comes and speaks about the beauty of Radharani, and it captures the mind of Krishna to a point that he can't stop thinking about it. She disappears again. But meanwhile, Krishna is still absorbed in thoughts of Srimati Radharani, is trying to compose himself. But it just comes out of his mouth, and so he says, isn't it true that Srimati Radharani is the most beautiful girl in the entire universe? Then Manu Mangal is there, and he elbows Krishna and said, it's his sister. So in this way, Krishna, although he appears to be in control of himself, he's not. That is very clear. His thoughts, his feelings are out of control. It is said that in that mood of separation, Krishna is roaming through the forest. Meanwhile, Srimati Radharani, her separation from Krishna is getting very, very intense. Very intense. And just to express these feelings at one point with kumkum powder from her body, she is writing the name of Krishna on a leaf. And then they just wander further into the forest. Later, Krishna, he comes to that place in the forest and finds that name written there. And then Krishna blows his flute in response to the name that he is seeing. And that flute playing of Krishna then penetrates the heart of Srimati Radharani so deep. She's just saying, what is this sound? What is this sound? What is this all-overpowering sound that is just driving me mad? And it is then that she recites, that she quotes this verse. Then she says that she's simultaneously attached to three persons. The person from before, the person in the picture, and the person who's playing the flute. It is then that Vishakha says, but they are one and the same. And Srimati Radharani cannot relate to that, one and the same, because all these experiences in themselves are so overpowering and so overwhelming that she is simply being carried away and totally, totally absorbed, totally confused with all these different emotions rising to the fore at the same time. And this causes these symptoms of transcendental madness, which she is almost continuously displaying. The love of Srimati Radharani is not in any way influenced by the material world. It is not in any way influenced by anything in this world. In some verses from the Pajavali I have here, also from Srila Rupa Goswami, and I thought they They're also very nice. One second, I have to. The Sanskrit is also very beautiful, but because there is only limited time, I will only read the English translation. It says, "The beauty of his face is sweetened with his when his fine brows begin their sudden skillful dance. Ashoka buds adorn his earrings. His dress is like bright gold, draped around a dark stone. O friend, who is this? The song of his flute robbed me of my will. His silken luster resembles the center of a dark blue lotus. The cloth he wears falls like streams of liquid gold, and the pearl pendant on his chest entrances. Who is this youth? He fills the entire world with longing. The anguish inflicted in her heart by the sharp shafts of love, Radha proclaimed through the agitations of her frail frame, and then in the presence of her friends spoke, her face betraying her sorrow. Ever since I saw a dark luster in a grove on Yamuna's banks, my heart has quivered like a drop on a lotus leaf. Suddenly, as I was walking down that path to Yamuna's shores, I saw him, his body, dark as clouds pregnant with rain. What he did with a quick glance from the corner of his eye, I do not know. But since then, my mind is shaken and can no longer concentrate on chores. First arose a dark light, followed by the fragrance of musk, then the humming of a small flute, the soft tinkle of a girdle, then beauty born from billowing waves of wonder circled by streaks of lightning, then sudden bliss. What stupidity, what stupidity, what stupidity came over me. God, oh God, considering a mere coward boy, I curiously looked at Hari. Ah, I wish I could see him, my beloved. Because of him, my thoughts are not right. Moon-faced friends, the moon, this breeze, and the cooling fragrance of sandal prolong my suffering. That my elders despise me, that my good name is soiled, that living with my husband is sometimes rough. My God, Murari's flute makes me forget it all. My husband is upset, let him be upset. My servants despise me, let them despise me. So what? Let this great affliction of mine be gossiped throughout the world. What I desire is only this. Let my sense of sight ever increase, so I may drink deep the quintessence of beauty that is the form of Mura's foe. Trustless friend, what is the point of this unfulfilled desire of mine? Alas, who can act so piously? This alone is what my life has brought within the range of my sight. Murari comes, but from it he also goes. Friend, will I be ruined by fate? Have the fortune of seeing him or not? Even so, the sound of his flute reaches my ears. That would be sufficient. It carries on, but I will end with reading and say a few words. So, in the writings of Srila Rupa Goswami, we get an impression of the depth of Srimati Radha's love, of how she doesn't care about the relationships of the material world, her reputation, how that love is everything, how devotional service is everything. This mood of Srimati Radharani is truly the mood that we are all striving for. Radhastami is particularly the day when we are confronted with pure devotional service in its full-fledged form. There is no manifestation of pure devotional service that compares. On a day like today, we're also confronted with our own lack of purity, with our own lack of devotion, with our own poor service. So on a day like today, we become contemplative. On this day, we pray. We particularly pray to Srimati Radha. This is a day to reflect. Whereas Janmashtami is the festival of abundance, of abundantly glorifying Krishna. Radhastami is particularly a time to reflect deeply and to take the deepest inspiration from the example of Srimati Radharani. Then we stand in awe before the service of Srimati Radharani, before the love of Srimati Radharani, and we are experiencing how it will never be possible, never ever, even if we get all the purification available in the universe, to come to that level of devotional service. That we can realize. And therefore we realize that we can only be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, 100 times removed, 1,000 times removed, 1,000,000 times removed. Only in this way we can play a humble role in assisting Srimati Radharani. We find that Rupa Goswami describes his two dramas, the Vidukta Madhava, where he describes the depth of the love of Srimati Radharani. And then the pastimes of Vrindavan. Then he writes the second drama, the Lalita Madhava, the pastimes outside of Vrindavan. Now, when we read the Lalita Madhava, then we read about, it begins to describe the residence of Vrindavan. It doesn't begin describing the queens or anything like that. It just begins to describe how the residents of Vrindavan are all burning in the greatest separation. And it says, always, it's been described again and again, how much Srimati Radharani is burning in separation, how all her associates are burning in separation, and she particularly. And then what happens is, in Lalita Madhava, she dies. I know it's an intense topic to discuss on a day like today. She leaves her body. And then everyone else also. It just gets too much. They can no longer bear the separation. They also leave their body. Then they all appear again. And so they take different forms. And it says, Chandravali, she becomes Rukmini. She becomes Queen Rukmini. And Radharani becomes Satyabhama. Right? The younger queen, who, when the elder queen appears, has to be in the background. And in this way, the same rasa now is manifest. Such are the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. It is stated that Krishna is like a boy seated at the just next to a pond, and he's playing with his own reflection. In the same way, it is said Krishna is playing with all his different energies. And Krishna expands himself into many forms. He is one, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam. And Srimati Radharani also expands herself in many forms. So the queens of Dwarka are the expansions of Srimati Radharani. Just as Lord Mahavishnu is expanding from Krishna, Mahalakshmi is expanding from Srimati Radharani. And she also Just as Krishna takes many forms, she also takes many forms, and each time is the concert of the Supreme Lord. So as Krishna leaves Vrindavan, and as Krishna goes, of course, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but the Krishna who manifests outside of Vrindavan, Vasudev Krishna, then Srimati Radharani expands herself and also becomes his consort. In Vrindavan, Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Brahman, Sevyamanam Govindamani Purusham Tamaham Vajami. There are many goddesses of fortune, millions of goddesses of fortune. And Srimati Radharani, again, expanding herself in the form of her sakis and so on, all for the pleasure of Krishna, manifesting different modes. It is stated that there are various groups of gopis all competing with each other for the attention of Krishna, and that particularly the group of Lalita, headed by Lalita, is the Swapaksha, is the group of Srimati Radharani herself. In the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, we find that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as Radha and Krishna. Then we see that Lalita, not in Gaura Ganadesh, but identified by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as Sarup Damodar Goswami. We see Ramananda Rai then is identified as Vishakha. And we find how Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari, who is the direct assistant of Srimati Lalita Devi. So we're seeing here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Radha and Krishna himself, is appearing with his own party now, his own party, Lalita, and Rupa Manjari, now as Sarup Damodar, now as Rupa Goswami. And particularly in this movement, we are described as Rupanugas, followers of Rupa Goswami. So in this way, we are following in the footsteps of all those in the party of Srimati Radharani. All those great devotees, their main focus is not Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, in the third canto, it is described that the residents of Vaikuntha want to see Krishna as the most beautiful. But it is described that the residents of Vrindavan, they want to see Srimati Radharani as more beautiful than Krishna. And so, all these intimate associates of Srimati Radharani's own party are particularly absorbed in the mood of Radha-dasya. In the writings of Raghunath Das Goswami, this Radha-dasya, this servitorship to Srimati Radharani is highlighted. Sometimes we can see someone coming in a temple and doing big things in front of the deity. Here I am offering my prayer. But the followers of Rupa Goswami are in the mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant. Because they understand no one can please Krishna like Srimati Radharani. No one can assist Srimati Radharani like Lalita and Vishakha. No one can serve Krishna like all the wonderful servants of Krishna. And until it comes to us, and until it comes to Srila Prabhupada, no one can serve like Srila Prabhupada. And we can only serve his servants. So this Das Anudas, right, being the servant of the servant, is very much the very tradition that somehow or other has come to us through all these great acharyas. And this mood of just being the humble servant of the servant is our meditation on this day of Radhastami. And so I pray that since you are all servants of the Lord, I pray that I may finally develop, give up my rebellious nature and develop such a mood of being a servant of all you servants of the Lord. Thank you so much. Sisi Radhastami Maha Mahotsava Ki Jaya.